Okay, so what I want to ask everybody to do is just take a moment and take a breath and relax. It's quite a day, quite a gathering with all that's happening here. So just take a breath, and I would encourage you to just be with your thoughts, be with your feelings, close your eyes if it feels right, and just relax and listen. Thank you, everybody. And with that, I'll turn it over to Gail or whoever will introduce Gail today.
I'll introduce Gail. Everybody, let me reintroduce Gail to you. And that's something that I try to do regularly. It's like a consistent reintroduction of myself. And I find that I'm using those words a whole lot more over the last few maybe months, that I am reintroducing myself to me. And, you know, that's about, you know, truly learning, truly knowing and moving into the various aspects that I know Gail is, and being in that space of feeling that I am enough, being in that space of knowing that, you know, I could never really get it done to its fullest and completeness in this lifetime, for example. And it just reassures me, the idea of reintroducing me to myself, that all that I am is not all that appears to me in this now moment or to anybody else. I am so much more than how I show up right now. And I am so much more is an amazing truth about all of life, all of creation. You know, there is this awesome, bigger, more amazing idea of who we are or how we are showing up. And that bigger idea is the sea of our existence, is the sea of where we've come from, or is the ocean of absoluteness, absolute wholeness, absolute perfection. And it's from that space that I get little glimpses of, you know, the wholeness, the bigness of God. And it's, you know, that introducing me to myself is also a way of me staying in alignment with my feelings, and knowing that my feelings play a huge and an important part in the expression of how I show up and who I think I am and how I allow myself to open and to expand. So our topic today is generally, you know, what the science of mind say about me, or about, you know, about who I am. And, you know, with David's transitioning to that amazing place of light, so where there is no pain, no sorrow, where there is just that awesomeness of joy, the awesomeness of living without judgment, living without just knowing that
you are
all is well, just knowing that all is well. So it's from that space that I've recognized that, okay, you know, I have been at the point in time to move me into the idea of, you know, accepting a philosophy that I was reaching out for, not knowing that I was reaching out for it, but that higher part of me, that amazing part of the all there is, that is moving me and guiding me into deeper wisdom, into areas where I am recognizing that truth is truth because it is my experience in this now moment. And so a lot of me is moving into the space where, what do I feel? Who am I? And who Gail is? And who is Gail when it comes to you know, what our teachings say about us. And so what is our teaching? What is the science of mind philosophy? You know, there is this, you know, idea of our philosophy is, you know, is our fate, is the way we live. It is our life as it presents. But how is it that we are being more aware? How is it that, you know, our tradition, or the idea of how I came to be and how I depended upon possibly the guy, Ernest Holmes, to assist me in the process, where from his idea of questioning, you know, he questioned everything, but he also embraced everything. And he embraced life from that religious, from looking at a lot of other religious traditions and looked at a lot of sacred writings, particularly from Greek philosophers. He was really very, very in sync with, you know, what presented from spirituality, not mainly religion. He did study a lot of religion, but he literally went underneath what religion presented. And he found that spirituality was that there is this oneness, this one idea that all these religions, all these traditions were coming back to. And that is the oneness, which is the source of all things. And he was able to bring that in a way that I could have understood. And I would have to say I was ready to understand it, because I did come from a place of Christianity where, you know, I was in that, you know, that God, you know, praying and hoping and, you know, begging and wanting things to happen the way I want it, or the way I pictured it. And, you know, I was in that space. And for some reason, you know, I just took a bow turn, and it's like, there must be more. And so looking back, of course, it's that higher self within me, that higher idea of who Gail is, has been bringing me forth into what I would call more spiritual truths, more idea of the bigger picture of the universality of what God is. So my higher self moved me from a small God. And I even at the time, I didn't think God was small. I knew God was really huge and in charge of everything, God, right? But now I know that this God is so much more expansive, and that God is the source of all things, and that there is only one God, has to be. And I have to say, this one God could be anything, right? We could call it one power. We can call it love. We can call it creation. We can call it Buddha. We can call it nature. We can call it universality. Whatever it is, I have expanded enough to understand that this one God, this one source of everything that was made of this oneness, and that this God, this power, is what is in me, as me, through me. And this power, it really moves through me today as love, and sensing the community that we are right now, knowing that underneath it there is pain, there is grief, there is hurt. And yet we know, and as someone else had said, you know, it is truly all is well. And it's coming from that space of knowing that all is well, that I can let go of the idea of feeling lost, of feeling hopeless, of feeling numb. And all those feelings came to me, by the way, right? But it's about truly knowing that as we actively participate in this thing called life, and this thing called life has its many aspects to it, and the many aspects includes how we are in this now moment, which, you know, is the feelings that we move through, the way we know we are alive as human beings, by the way, because there is life everlasting. And what is that life? Life everlasting doesn't always show up as humanness, right? So the way I am expressing my humanness is through my five senses, right? How I feel, what I think, what I hear, what I smell. So I participate from my humanness in this now moment, but with that idea of participating to my five senses, I also know that there is this bigger me, and there is this bigger idea of me that creates happiness, that creates joy on demand, by the way. As I said, it is. My word is my life, in a sense. So I draw from what I want to experience. Well, what I want to experience, it's in that big soup, that ocean of potentiality that I call God. And what I want to experience, if I want to experience peacefulness, joyfulness, if I want to experience something bigger than I can be open to and feel, I call it forth. So science of mind says that I am that, and I am so much more. I am that one power, but that one power is so much bigger than I am from my human physical experience. And that is the energy that I bring forth. That is the energy that is present as Gail. And so in moving through that, I recognize that I am to honor my feelings. I am to honor the place that of where I am in this now moment. So for example, you know, as I am in turmoil or have been in some turmoil with David's death, right? I find that I have felt alone. I know I couldn't be alone, or I know I shouldn't be alone, but I'm starting to take the words should out of stuff, because that's truly putting, you know, words of judgment upon myself, right? So I found that I know that I couldn't be alone. Why? Because of my philosophy, because of what I know to be true, that I can never be alone in a world of oneness. I have to be in that idea of me and God are one. And who is God? Who is presenting in my life? Well, look at you. Look at all the beautiful people that I'm looking out to, and possibly who are looking back at me, right? You are my world. You are my life. And outside of that, I'm going to ask you, is there an outside, right? Is there an outside of what my world presents? So I have to bring I have to come from that space of God is one, God is all, God is life, God is the life I am living right now. God is me expressing and expressing the things, the people, the places that are going to support me from my physical experience. And so as a result of me going into my feelings and coming from that place of emotion, I have to also recognize that I got to make a commitment to myself to listen to my feelings. And from moment to moment, I can act from that place of feeling, but I want to act from a place of right thinking. I want to act from how I'm feeling in this present moment to truly evolving with that feeling and making that commitment to myself that this is what is appropriate for me in this moment, in my present moment. Excuse me. So I need to know how I'm feeling, but how I'm feeling sometimes could be convoluted with other people's energies, right? And so I have to know to be in a space to calm me, to be in a space of ease, to be in a space of relaxation, to be in a space of I want to really clarify me, what these feelings are, and know exactly what I'm feeling. Because like I say, we are in this oneness, but inside of this oneness, there is individuality, right? And each person is an expression of this amazing allness, or this amazing grace, this amazing love. And so we are in a place where we also are expressing, right? And so obviously we are different energies, and we can get caught up in the different energies of others if we don't take the time to ground ourselves. And I'm going to bring it back to me. If I don't take the time to isolate me and to bring me in a place of quiet, in a place of calm reflectiveness, in a place of knowing that I need to hear from me, I will also be caught up in the energies of others. You know, Caroline talked, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. I think it's, yeah, where, you know, the different types of, you know, maybe personalities or the different types of us that show up, right? And one of the things that I truly learn is that coming back to myself, what is it that how is it I want to portray? Whose life am I living? Am I living the life I want? Or am I living the life that I should live? Or am I living a committed life that says, I know who I am? So science of mind says, you know, be in that space. I can't present me unless I am sure of who I am. Otherwise, I will get lost in the mix, right? So each person is unique and particular and we have our own gifts. And so sometimes if we feel that we need to have that space, go into that quiet space, go into, according to the Bible, into your closet and into the corners and just be at ease, at peace, knowing that this is our full nature. Our nature is peace. And so ask ourselves, I ask myself, how do I feel? And if we are not sure how we are feeling, we could zero that down to being confident, because all of the universe is confidence. It shows up. And it's for us to participate, right? For us to take of this what shows up and present it as our own lives. So I want to ask myself, or to tell myself, I know how I feel. And the more I say that to myself, whether I know it or not, it's from that place of confidence. It's from that place of assertive living. It's that place of, this is how God shows up. God shows up as energy that is absolutely, God shows up as me, as my energy that says it's first all about me, which means it doesn't mean that, okay, I take over, no, but it means that if I show up as me, then I become clear in the presence of others, all right? So there is no way that I am kind of pulling or basking, which we can do, but we want to choose positive energies to bask in, that we are not basking in the energies of others, right? So unfortunately, we feel one way and yet we go against how we feel, because maybe they may call me selfish, right? I know I need to do this because this is what my higher self is calling for. And yet, because it seems as though it's going to affect another person, I could step back. I'm like, oh, that's selfish, right? So we are programmed sometimes to say that it is wrong to show up, to live from what our higher calling is, what our guidance is, because in some ways of what others would say. All right. So that energy that I'm talking about is what we know as the self-directedness of God, right? We got to direct our energies into what is it that we want. Follow our feelings. How is it? What is it that I'm feeling right now? Where am I and how am I to be? And the only way we can know that is if we direct that idea of who we are into something bigger, something out there, something more, right? So our energies should be nice and clean. Yet at the same time, does it say that we are ignoring others? No, it doesn't. So I have to first make a commitment to me, a commitment to myself. Otherwise, I'll get lost in the sea of energy of everybody else, all right? I'll get lost in their goals. I'll get lost in their expectations. And some people do have really crispy energies that they are very assertive, and sometimes it could be very dominating, right? So I have to know that me, Gail, is going to show up as, who am I? How do I feel? And make that commitment to stay in that space. At the same time, I know that I have to be a priority by acknowledging my feelings and acting upon them and sending my energy in the direction I have chosen. That doesn't mean that I'm going to ignore others, because I feel that, you know, I am more powerful when I can understand how my actions may affect others. And then I can move into that space. Some people worry that if they do what is right for them, like me sometimes, that I'll be acting out of selfishness, out of not feeling or not being in a space for others. But I want to tell you that what I have learned as a result of moving into the space of what the science of mind say about me is that when I honor my higher path, when I honor that bigger self, that higher self, I am as well honoring the path of others, even though it doesn't look like that in the time at the time, right? So I might be saying, nope, this is what I feel directed to do. This is how I, this is where I want to go. You may feel some pull push from it because in the past, that's called selfishness. But I have learned that I cannot be responsible for another person's happiness. And they are the ones that have to choose it. I can't choose it for them, but I can be in a space, a supportive space. But in order for me to be in a supportive space, I have to know me. I have to commit to me. I have to commit to that idea of I am this and I am so much more, right? You know, there are so many ways for us to understand another person's perspective or even to change our own perspective. Obviously, we have to exit the way we are thinking, exit the way we are feeling. Sometimes that exit looks like death, right? But does it mean that that's the end? Probably not, right? Because it's another or a new way or another way of showing or changing our perspective, seeing ourselves in a new light in a way, right? So when we try to put ourselves in other people's shoes, it's okay, right? But don't allow, you know, if we are going to be in that supportive space, then I am sensing that I can't come from my overpowering ideas of what I believe and what I, you know, judgments and that kind of thing. I have to also come from a supportive space of where another person is. So in learning to love and accept who I am not only who I want to be, who I should be, who I, you know, who I can be, but I have to learn to accept who I am in the now, only for the sake of this is who I am and this is how I show up. This is the energy I am presenting to the world. And this is how God shows up as me.